Irvin da pe gimel, we are in pe beis amid beis b'tarz abar in the amud. We're going over a shear for Erev Tchumim. Erev Tchumim has to be beisudus. It has to be comprised of 2 meals worth of food that you're going to put down in a new location in order to establish a makom shvisa. And so the Mishnah here, towards the beginning of the 8th parak of Erevin, goes over the basic shear of how much is going to be made up of 2 meals. In the Mishnah, we were introduced to 4 different opinions. We went through the Shitas of Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda yesterday in terms of whether we're talking about a weekday meal or a Shabbos meal. And as the Gemara pointed out, the Mishnah pointed out, what they're really debating is which is the smaller of the two. Do people eat less during a weekday meal or during a Shabbos meal? Something which seemingly is not open for a discussion and debate, but meanwhile, it is a machlokus in the Mishnah between Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. Shitas Rameir is that the weekday meal is going to be smaller because we tend to eat more on Shabbos. Something that I'm sure we can all relate to. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says no, that our weekday meals are actually larger. On Shabbos, you know you're going to be having an additional meal. And so therefore, you're going to make sure that your meals are going to be smaller in nature, knowing that you're going to have one additional meal. Mashain came, that's not true during the rest of the week. The Gemara yesterday nodded in the direction of Meir. Meir Shita says the Gemara is something that's easier to grasp. In the meantime, however, that was much more of a conceptual debate. And now we get to a practical debate that we also found in the Mishnah yesterday between Rav Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Shimon. When we went through the Mishnah yesterday, so I quickly glossed over the actual measurements that both of them made up, knowing full well that today we're going to be discussing this in great detail. And so let's discuss this in great detail. In terms of what the measurement is going to be for the Shitas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, so the Mishnah gave us a way to measure it in relationship to money. Both the currency the Mishnah makes reference to and the volume that the Mishnah makes reference to are currencies and volumes that obviously are outdated. We don't use neither the currency nor the volume that is mentioned in the Mishnah. And so obviously it's going to be a little bit challenging to relate to, but the numbers still work out. These are all basically comes out to mathematical equations. So as far as the numbers are concerned, so all these numbers work out. Rav Yochanan ben Broka, as read in the Mishnah, says that the amount of bread that you need set up an Eruv. Now, we're going to be discussing it in terms of one loaf of bread, but the truth of the matter is that it's enough for 2 seudos. So the amount necessary, as reported in the Mishnah, according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, is that it's going to be a half of a kav. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be a third of a kav. This is a way that we read the Mishnah. This is a simple reading of the Mishnah. Now, we also know that a kav is also convertible into a beitza. A half of a kav is converted into 12 beitza, and a third of a kav would be 8 beitza, which would mean, of course, that a full kav is 24 beitza. So this is, right now, as we are reading the Mishnah, this is the way it's presented. The numbers that I just provided are correct, although, to be honest, perfectly honest, that's not exactly the way the Mishnah says it. But nevertheless, for the purposes of elucidation, it would be just fine. Gemara starts off, Tana. The Gemara quotes Abrai, so Krovin Devram Liyoshavim. The difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan Broka are very close to one another. So the Brisa tells us that there's not a major debate between the two positions. So the Gemara says, Midami. Now the Gemara says, now that's very hard to understand. The Rabbi Yoshua Arba Sudasa Likava, the Rabbi Shimon Tesha Sudasa Likava. And the Gemara says, I really don't understand because as you work out the Shitas, how many meals are you going to get per Kav? So it comes out that according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's going to be 4 meals per Kav. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to come out to 9 meals per Kav. And needless to say, that is a major difference between the two positions and doesn't fit in at all with the language of the Brisa, where the Brisa says it's Krovim Liyoshavim. They're very close to one another. So I'm Rav Chista. So Rav Chista teaches us the following statement, Hem Shlish Lechenvani. So what we're going to now do is that we're going to significantly qualify the Shita of Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Rav Yochanan ben Broka, we originally had it presented that he had a large shear. Actually, the truth of the matter is, his shear is going to be significantly smaller. Well, right now, the way the Gemara frames it is that we had him just moments earlier at 4 meals per kav. So the Gemara says, actually, it's going to be 6. In other words, for every kav of flour, so it's going to come out to 6 meals. So how does that work? So as the Gemara here points out, what you're going to end up doing is that you're going to give the flour to the baker. He's going to make 6 meals worth, but he's going to keep two for himself. Why would he keep two for himself? It's called payment. In other words, he needs to get paid, and so the payment is that he's going to keep a third, meaning he's going to keep two of the six. And so really what you will net four, but the amount that it actually produces is going to be six. So the Gemara says, Lamar Tisha Lamar Shis. So the Gemara says, Vakati, sorry, Lamar Tisha Lamar Shis. So the Gemara says, okay, but there's still a discrepancy between nine and six. And the Gemara says that doesn't really fit in with the words of the Brisa. So the Brisa says, they are krovim. They're pretty close to one another. So Elach Ki'idach de Rav Chista. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to go with another statement of Rav Chista, notably, the Amar Sei Mehem Mechsa Lechenvani. Well, the baker is actually going to get half of the loaves. In other words, you're going to give him a kav, and you're going to walk away with half, meaning you'll yield, you'll net four, but the truth of the matter is that there was eight in total. V'akati lamar tesh lamar tamne, so the Gemara says, okay, now it comes out to nine and eight. So the Gemara says, perfect. Tainu dekami kerovin devrem liyoshavim. So the Gemara says, that's great, because the Braisa says that they're very close to one another. Nine and eight are as close as you can be without getting fractional. Kashi derav chista derav chista. Now, seems to be that we were a bit arbitrary in terms of how much the baker is keeping for himself. Is the baker keeping for himself a third, or is the baker keeping himself for a half? So it's a little bit strange, because when the Gemara first presented a third and said that, well, that's not good enough, so the Gemara says, fine, not a third, a half. And that seems to be a little bit arbitrary, so the Gemara goes on to explain. Lo kasha. Hadika yahi balabai sivi, hadlo yahi balabai sivi. Sometimes the baker retains a third for himself, sometimes he retains a half, and it simply depends on whether or not when the person who comes and provides the flour to the baker in order to bake the bread, is he also going to be providing the fuel as well? So if he's providing flour and fuel, so that means that's less expenses on the part of the baker, so the baker is only going to be keeping a third. If, on the other hand, the person came with flour but no fuel, so then that means that's more expenses on the part of the baker. So the baker now is going to keep half. Otherwise, his profit margin just simply won't be worth it to him. Ad kan. Brings us now to the end of the Amud. So now where we stand is that we have a new understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in terms of the amount that one will be getting out of the flour, out of the kav. And consequently, what's going to come out now is that we have a discrepancy, a debate between them in terms of how much you need for an Eruv, and then for all the subsequent shear in the Mishnayos. If we could just quickly review the Mishnah before we go on in the Gemara. So the Mishnah told us that the amount of that you need for an Eruv is, according to Rabbi Shimon, a third of a kav. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, it is now going to be understood as a quarter of a kav. Okay, that went through a bit of a change, as was formally presented back in the Mishnah. And then the Mishnayos went over two other shiurim. Half of the shiur for an Erev is what is described in the Mishnah as Beis HaManuga. That is the delay in which when you go into a house of Tzaras, so you are going to become Tamei immediately, but your clothing will be Tamei only after the amount of time that it would take to consume a loaf of bread. How much bread? Half of the shiur of an Erev. And then there is another shiur offered in our Mishnah, and that would be half of that shiur, and that's the Psul HaGviya. How much a person would have to eat, how much tummy food would a person have to eat in order to render himself tummy. So that would be half of half, meaning half of the Beis HaManuga, which is half of the Eruv. So those are the shiurim that are presented in the Mishnah. Tana. Well, first let me read the heading. Chatsia LeBeis HaManuga V'chatsia Chatsia LePsul HaGviya. Good. As we are now on the very top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, Tana. We learned in the Braisa of Chatsi Chatsi Chatsia LeTamei Tumas Ochlin. Good. And here the Braisa tells us that there's actually one more half that's involved in the Shiurim, and that is if I drop down one more half, so I get to Tumas Ochlin. So that means to say that if we start with an Eruv, which according to Rabbi Shimon is going to be the equivalency of a third of a Kav, and a third of a Kav is also equivalent to eight Beitza, half of that gets me the Shiur Beis HaManuga, that's the sixth of a Kav, which in Beitzas is four Beitzas, then half of that would be the Psul HaGviya, which is a 12th of a kav, which in beitzas is two beitzas. And then finally we get down to Tumas Ochlin. Tumas Ochlin is a 24th of a kav, which is one beitza. Now, throughout Shas, we know, the Gemara brings up time and again, this idea of Tumas Ochlin, that if I have a food that is the amount of a kibetza, so it's going to be subject to Tumas Ochlin. As we have just all learned together, this is really the Shitas Reb Shimon, as presented over here in our Gemara. Comes out something a little bit strange, and that is that if we did the same thing for Rav Yochanan ben Broka, so without going through each of the numbers specifically, but the starting point is that an Erev for Rav Yochanan ben Broka is a quarter of a kav, and then I go down a half, I go down another half, and I go down another half, so then for Tumas Ochlin, according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, it's going to be three quarters of a beitza. Comes out now that throughout Shas, when we learned Tumas Ochlin being a beitza, so that really is Shita's Rabbi Shimon and not the Shita of Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Anyway, with all that stated, so now, and by the way, that observation is not an original observation that comes out of Tosos. You can see that in the top Tosos on the Amud, last two lines. I'll just read it quickly. V'hadamar b'chol duchta kebeis al tamet Tumas Ochlin haynu ker Rabbi Shimon v'lo ker Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Good. So an observation that B'Shem Omro comes out from Tosos. With that stated, the Gemara now has a very simple question. Tani Didan, my time alotini Tumas Ochlin. So why doesn't our Mishnah go down to Tumas Ochlin? Meaning it would have been one more line in our Mishnah, and it would have been extraordinarily helpful, as the Mishnah was now able to string together the shear for an Eruv, half for a Beis HaManuga, half for Psula Gavia, half of that for Tumas Ochlin. And why wouldn't the Mishnah go through all four categories? Why would the Mishnah stop at Psula Gavia? Such a strong question. The Gemara answers. The Gemara responds. So Hatumas Ochlin Mishum Delo Shavishi Rai La Dade. So the Gemara says because really it's not equivalent. Detanya. And the Gemara goes on to explain what does that mean? It's not equivalent. We learned in a Braisa Kamishir Chati Pras. So what exactly is the shear of a Chati Pras? Chati Pras. Pras already is half, and so Chati Pras is half of the half. So that means to say that we're at the shear of Psul Hagavia. So Beis Beitzim Chatzur Kima Devri Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the volume of two eggs, but chaser kima, but minus a little bit. Rabbi Yossi, Amar Beis Beitzim Sochakos, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it's going to be two eggs, but they're going to be wider, they're going to be slightly more expansive. Shear Rabbi Beis Beitzim Va'od. Rabbi has a shear, and Rabbi's shear is that it's a volume of two eggs, plus an additional amount. Kama Va'od, when we say an additional amount, what do we mean by that? So Echad Me'esrim Be'beitza. So the amount that Rebbe has and he increases is 1 in 20, otherwise known as 0.05, 5%. 5% that you tack on according to Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. So, V'ilu gabi Tumas Ochlin, Tanya. Now, as far as Tumas Ochlin is concerned, so we know we have a braisa that says, Rebbe Nasim, Rebbe Dosa, Amru, Kebetza, Shamru, Kamoa uche klipasa, V'chacham amorim, Kamoa below klipasa. Machlokus between Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Dosa versus the Chachamim, whether the volume of an egg is with or without the shell. According to the first position, it is with a shell, and according to the Chachamim, it's without a shell. Comes out now that there is not a perfect fractional relationship between the category of Psula Gvia, that's the Chatzi Pras, and that of the Tumas Ochlin. And since it's not a perfect fractional relationship, so that's why our mission doesn't mention it. Meaning, there is a relationship, but it's not a perfect relationship, and that's why it is simply not brought in our Mishnah. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of that section, but the Gemara is going to still stay on this topic of Shi'urim. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chisda Zudevei, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yossi. These are the positions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, v'chacham amomrim, kebeitza umechsa shochakos. So, there is another shita, and that is that the amount that is going to bring about psula gvia is going to be the volume of an egg and a half. Uman chacham and Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Now that is the shita of Rav Yochanan ben Broka. Meaning, just go back now to our chart. Well, I should say better my chart. But if you go back to our chart, so you're going to find over there that Rav Yochanan ben Broka starts off with the error of being six beitza. Then one step down from there, it's going to be three beitza, and one step down from there, it's going to be one and a half. So the Psul HaGviah that we're describing right now, the Chatzi Pras, is going to be one and a half. So the Gemara is just identified that the Shita of the Chachamim is none other than Rav Yochanan ben Broka. The problem, of course, is that really it's an obvious point. Pshita, that's exactly the Gemara's next point. It's really an obvious point. Shochakos asil hashminan. So the Gemara says not necessarily because, look, it does say a Beitza v'chetzi, but it also says Shochakos. which means just slightly larger, a little bit wider. He also Rav Dimi Amar, Shiger Bonios Le Rebbe, Mudya de Kundainos de Min Nuasa. So there was, Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, as he does all the time, to report that which he has learned in Eretz Yisrael. And he says that there's this individual, Bunyas, sent to Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, some measurement that was the size, that was the shear of a sa'ah. And so now, Vashir Rabbi, Rabbi measured it, and Masain Vashev Esrei Be'ein. And how many eggs did it come out to? It came out to the number 217. Okay, now, that surprises us. Why? Because what would we have expected? So before we go on to the Gemara, just a little bit of background in order to explain exactly what our expectations were in terms of how many volumes of eggs this sa'ah is supposed to have. Okay, so first of all, how many volume of eggs normally does one sa'ah have? So the answer to that actually is very straightforward. Meaning, I'm just going to go over the basics in terms of these volumes. So six base is equal to one lug, four lugan is equal to one kav, six kavan is equal to one sa'ah. So that's basically 6 times 4 times 6, so that comes out to 144. So there are 144 bases within one saw. So at this point in time, it seems like the answer is that the expectation should be 144 bases within one saw. Now that is a far cry from the 217 that we just discovered over here in the Gemara. But even before we try to resolve the number 217, there's a little bit more information that we need to know. And that is that despite the fact that the numbers that I just gave are correct, but that was all in the Midbar. That was in the desert. However, there were two times historically where the Jewish people increased the measuring cups, meaning did not increase the size of the Beitza. The Beitza has been the same size since the time of the Torah, since the time of Nisina's Torah. I just add parenthetically, by the way, that in more contemporary times in the last 200, 300, 400 years, so there has been discussions in terms of whether or not the eggs, the volume of the eggs have changed, but that's not the discussion we're having over here in the Gemara. Here in the Gemara, so the volume of eggs have remained the same, they're at a constant, but the measuring cups themselves, the sa'a measurement, have been increased, they've been expanded, and this happened twice historically. Each time, they've been expanded by 20%. Now, what you're going to hear in the Gemara is the Gemara using the expression of shesus, which means a six. But if you been with us in the daf long enough, you'll know that a six is really milavar, that's from the outside, and what it really comes down to is it comes out to a fifth, meaning 20%. So that means to say that our new measuring cups are larger, and that happened two times. So if I take the original measuring cup, which holds 144, and I make it now 20% larger, so now how many more eggs can be held in it? So it's going to take 444. Really multiply that number by 20. That's going to get me to 28.8. I add that to the 144, it's 172.8. Let's round up, that's 173. So the first time that they increased the measuring cup, so that was 173 eggs that can fit into the new sa'ah. And that's what's called the Mida Yerushalmit. Now it happened at a later point in time historically where they increased it again by 20%. And when they increased it again by 20%, so you take 173, you multiply it by 20%, and that gives you an additional 34.6. You add that, it gets you to 207.6. So we're going to round down over here, and it's going to be 207. So this is now in Sipori. This is the Mida Sipori. So the amount of eggs that fit into the Mida Sipori are going to be 207. We are now a lot closer to what we just learned in the Gemara, where Rebbe measured, and it got to 217. We still have a little bit of work to do, because we got to get from 207 to 217, and the Gemara would like to know, how does that happen? And so back to the Gemara now. So hasa dehecha. So the Gemara says, which saw are we talking about? So e the midbar is kasa kuf mem dal havya. So if it's the saw, the original saw in the midbar, that's 144. V'i dushamit kuf ayin gimel havya. If it was a saw after the first increase, that's 173. V'i tziporos rejain havyan. And if it was the saw of tzipor, so that now is 207. So we are pretty much stuck. We don't have a way to get to 217 as of yet. So lo'olam d'tziporis asya. So the Gemara says, no, really, it's tziporis and chalsa shada alayhu. So the Gemara says, and what we're doing over here is that it's 207 plus the shear of chala. The Gemara says, now the shear of chala, what is that going to get us to? Meaning the Gemara's assumption is that it's the original plus whatever we have to also add in order so that we can factor in that we're going to have to take off challah. The Gemara says, wait 1 second, how much is that? So chalta kama havyan tamne. So the Gemara says there's only going to be 8 beitzim worth of challah. Now the number 8, how do we get to the number 8? So basically of the 207, so 192 evenly goes into 24. Parenthetically, by the way, we're assuming that the challah over here is 1 in 24. As we just learned the other day, it really depends who's making the dough. Is it the Baal HaBayis or is it a Nachshon, is it a baker? But we're going to assume right now that we're talking about a Baal HaBayis. And so therefore the shear is going to be a 24th. So over here, 192 goes evenly into 24, 8 times. And then there is really there's a remainder of 15. 15 is just a fraction. 24 is a fraction of 15. Okay, 0.625. Anyway, the point is that even if I took the shear challah and added to 207, so that just gets me to 215, a little bit over 215, but that's still short of the 217 in which we're looking for. So akati batzolei. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's not 217, and we're looking for the number 217. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay. So I see odos de Rebbe, shadi alayv. So the Gemara says, okay, what about the increase of Rebbe? Remember just a little bit earlier, we talked about how the beitz of Rebbe was not 2, but it was really 2.1, meaning that his increase was 0.05, 5%. So the Gemara says, so that's what we're going to say over here, that the increase is 5%. If I take 207, which is the amount of beitzim that fit into the sa'at zipori, and I multiply that by 1.05, so I'm going to end up with 217. It's actually going to be a little bit more than 217, 217.35, but if I round down, so it's 217. Gemara says perfect. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's a little bit more, like we just got done saying. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we can round down because it doesn't that little addition doesn't get me to the shear of a beitza. So therefore, we really have no problem rounding down, so that it is in fact 217. Perfect. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of that section. In terms of the saw that was measured by Rebbe, came out to 217. How to get to 217? So the Gemara did a little computation in terms of how we can have a saw being the volume of 217 beitzim. Tana Rabban, the Gemara is going to continue saw Yerushalmi Yisrael Midbar Yishasus Vishal Tzipor Yisrael Yerushalmi Shasus. So here in the Braisa, what we already established, but the Braisa here is laying down the idea that there was 2 increases. Each one of them was a 6th, which again is really a 5th, the way we describe fractions. Nimsa shel tziporis yisrael midbar shlish. Now, it comes out now that the tziporis is greater than the midbaris by a 3rd. Now, here's the problem. The end of the braisa really is mathematically challenging, and what the Gemara is going to do is Gemara is going to spend a good amount of time trying to make sense of that last statement of the braisa, where it says that the tziporis is greater than that of the midbaris by a 3rd. Shlish taman. The Gemara says, what are we talking about? A 3rd of what? Elam shlish demidbaris. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Now, first of all, let's just talk about the range. In other words, when all said and done, when you went from the midbaris 144 up to the tziporis, that's 207. So that was ultimately it was an increase of 63. So that's 63 beitzim. So the Gemara says, so let's think about this now. Michti. Shlish de midbaris kamehavya arba in vitamne. Now the Gemara says, well, maybe what we're doing is that we're comparing the range to a 3rd of the shir midbaris. Shir midbaris is 144. A 3rd of it is 48. So the Gemara says, v'ilu utfa shitzim vitlas ave. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. That doesn't work out. Meaning a 3rd of the midbaris is 48. And meanwhile, the increase to go from midbaris up to tziporis is 63. So the Gemara says there's no equivalency over there. So the Gemara says, okay, let's try this way. Ve'ela shlishi yusham. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about a 3rd of the yusham. So shlishi da kamahavyan chamshin v'tamya. It's 58. In other words, 173 divided into 3 parts is 58. So nechi tilsa. Not exactly 58, 57 minus the 3rd, but anyway. So the Gemara says once again, the ultimate addition from 144 to 207 is 63. So that doesn't work as well. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, so maybe it's the 3rd of the tzipari. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Kami Havish Ishisin Nechichada. 207, a third of 207 is 69. Viluit Fasamach Yimal. And meanwhile, the increase is 63. So the Gemara says that also doesn't work. So what we're trying to figure out right now is at the end of the Braisa, we're talking about how the increase is equivalent to the third. So again, we're just kind of lost. The increase to go from the Midbar up to the Tzipori is 63. And it's equivalent to a third of what? Elam Ravir Miyachi Kamer. So Ravir Miyachi now is going to attempt to give up shot. And that is Nimset Sashal Tzipori. Yesera al Midbaris Karav Lishlish Shalom. Vishlish Shalom Karav Lamechza de Midbaris. So what we could suggest is as follows. The Sah of the Tzipori is... The Sah of Tzipori, as we already pointed out, is in total 207. Yesera al Midbaris, and its addition over that of the Midbaris, meaning, again, back to the number 63, it's close to a third of the Tziporis, which we already pointed out, is 69. And Vishlishala Karv Lamechza, the Midbaris. And 69 happens to also be close to half of the Midbaris. Half of 144 is 72. So what Yirmiyah is attempting to say is that, look, the Bryce over here is not giving us exact numbers. The Bryce over here is giving us some numbers that are close in proximity to another. Again, what numbers are we comparing? The total range from the Sa'ah at its smallest, 144, to its largest, 207, that's 63, which is close to a third of the Tziporis, which is 69, which is close to half of the Midbaris, which would be 172. So the Gemara suggests that this is, in fact, the Pshat and the Braisa. So the Gemara says it's very difficult. Pshat and the Braisa, Maskev Flo Ravini. Midi Karav Karav Katani. It's really not what the Braisa says. The Braisa over here is not talking about ballpark figures. The Braisa over here is talking about some sort of equivalency, equation. So Elam Ravina Hachi Kamar. So Ravina says, okay. So Pshat will say like this. Nimse Shlisho Tzipori Bivodio Shal Rabbi Yisera Amechsa Shal Midbari Shlish. So the Gemara says, well, what we could say is as follows. If we take not the Tzipori, but we take the Tzipori coupled with the addition of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. We just learned together Rabbi Yehuda Nasi has a tack on of 5%. So it's 207 with 5%, which we already learned is 217. I take a third of that. So a third of 217 is 72 and a third. Okay. 72 and a third. And what is that equivalent to? That's equivalent to half of the Midbaris. Midbaris is 144, half of that 72. So now we have a nearly, I'll just put in parentheses, perfect equation, where a third of the Tzipori is going to be equivalent to half of the Midbar. But again, though, it just took a little bit of creative accounting in terms of how to get there, because it's not really the Tzipori. Tzipori is really 207. It's the Tzipori coupled with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's add-on of 5%. So that... In other words, a third of that is going to be equal to half of the Midbar. Okay, not really sure what we gained in terms of, aside from now having good pshat in the bright, so which obviously has a value, but what did we gain in saying this? I mean, obviously it does contrast how much bigger the new measuring cups are over the old ones. In other words, you have a third of the new measuring cup being equivalent to what was originally half of the old measuring cup. So good, so you do get the contrast, but I'm going to be perfectly honest, not really sure what we gained with that entire exercise. It was a good exercise, but I don't know what we gained. Let's continue in the Gemara. Tana Rabbani. We're in the very bottom of Pegim Amud Aleph, and here, for the remainder of the daf, we're going to be going through more measurements. So just in case you haven't had enough measurements for the daf, so we got a little bit more to go through, and that is the Shir Challah. Shir Challah, which expresses itself in the Gemara a number of times. And here we have the schos of going through it again. Reishis HaRisos Sechem, when the Torah introducing us to the Shir of Challah, so it describes it as the Reishis HaRisos Sechem, the first of your dough. Kidei HaRisos Sechem. And the understanding is that it's not just the first, but it's the amount of dough that we received. How much dough did we receive? V'kama arisa sechem kidei isas amidbar. It's the same amount of dough that we got in the midbar. V'kama isas amidbar, then, and that is how much exactly dichsiv. V'omer asir saifa he. So the pasuk in Parshas Bishach tells us that the omer is a tenth of an ephah. Tenth of an ephah. So how much is a tenth of an ephah? What does that come out to? So over here, we know the Torah's measurement of an ephah. How to put that in terms of sa'ar? The Torah itself doesn't state that clearly, but we know based on other Gemaras that there's three sa'ar that goes into one ephah. So that means that when we're talking about the tenth of an ephah, really... When we talk about a tenth of an ephah, really what we're describing over here is a tenth of three. I'm sorry, we're really describing over here three tenths of a saw, which comes out to 7 1/5 lugin, which also is equivalent to 43 1/5 beitza. Okay, the numbers all work out. Anyway, but this, of course, is all when measuring using the old measurements, meaning the measurements of the midbarios. Remember, the measuring cups got bigger. Now, again, just to remind all of us, the measuring cups got bigger, but that doesn't mean that the amounts got bigger, meaning the amount for the shear challah still remains the same shear. So that means that with the larger measuring cups, the amount for the actual amount of dough actually is going to be less in these now larger measuring cups. And the Gemara is going to make all those points. The Gemara says we are now on the top of the Amud Beis. Mikan Amru. Vav Revayim Kemach Va'od Chayavas Bechala. Sorry. Let me read that better. Mikan Amru Zayin Revayim Kemach Va'od Chayavas Bechala. So it's going to now be seven Revayim. It's going to be seven quarters. Or the way we expressed it moments earlier is that it's 7 1/5 lugin. Shehein Vav Shel Yerushalmis, which comes out now to be 6 lugin of Yerushalmis. Shehein Hei Shel Tzipori, which comes out to be 5 of the Tzipori. Again, with every time that the measuring cups gets bigger, so you need less in it of in order to express the original amount. Now, if you eat this measurement, this amount of flour, so Bari Mevarach, it's going to be very healthy. Now, very healthy, what does that mean, very healthy? Well, I mean, in other words, it's a right amount. Umevorach. And also on top of that, you're going to also have the mitzvah of Hafresh Eskala, which means that a bracha is going to come along with it. Literally a bracha, because you're going to make a bracha when you're mafresh chala. And then, yeser alkein, if you eat more than that, rav tan, you consider a glutton. And pachos mikam, mekukal b'meyav. And if you eat less than that, so mekukal b'meyav, it's no good. You're going to end up having difficulties in terms of digestion. Okay, Adkan will take us over here. We're going to stop here at the Mishnah. Tomorrow the Mishnah is a totally new topic and gives us some time to digest all those numbers that were just given to us. Let's quickly recap and let's review. We went over today, our main topic, in terms of the shear of dough necessary in order to make an Erev Tchum. Erev Tchum has to be 2 meals worth for every individual. Parenthetically, I could have mentioned this in the beginning of the shiur today. When it comes to the Erev Chatzeros, we already pointed this out. It's good, just good chazara. So the Erev Chatzeros so also has a shiur of Beisudos, but that's where it caps. Meaning that if, let's say, we have a group of people, so the shiur is going to be Beisudos for the whole group, even if the group itself far exceeds the amount of people that far exceeds the 2 Seudos. Okay, anyway, the point we made earlier. But when it comes to Erev Tchum, every individual is going to need Beis Udos. How much is Beis Udos? So in the Mishnah, we have Shitas of Rameh Rav Yehuda, who said it's a weekday meal, it's a Shabbos meal, debating exactly which one is smaller, which one's larger. And then the Mishnah brought down 2 Shitas, that of Rav Yochanan ben Broka and the other one of Rabbi Shimon. Rav Yochanan ben Broka, as originally presented in the Mishnah, sounds like the Beis Udos for the Erev Tchum is going to be half of a Kav. And Rabbi Shimon says that the Beis Udos is going to be a third of a kav. That's the way it's presented. And the Mishnah also brought down 2 other shirim, the Beis HaManuga. That's the delay in which your clothing are going to become tameh when you walk into the house of Saras. And the Psula Gvia. How much food are you going to eat? How much tummy food are you going to eat before you yourself become tameh? So those are the shirim that are brought down in the Mishnah. And the Machlokas Tanaim, exactly what the starting point is, how much flour we need for the Eruv, which obviously is going to then affect the amount for the Beis HaManuga and the Psula Gvia. in the Gemara. So yesterday we did the discussion regarding Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, the machlokus of where do you have, or where are you eating more food during the week or on Shabbos? That is to say per meal. And then the Gemara, which we started this morning, not exactly. But anyway, the Gemara that we started today, so the Gemara then clarified the machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rav Yochanan ben Broka. As presented in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says that an Erev is a third of a Kav, and Rav Yochanan ben Broka says that the Erev is a half of a Kav. But after clarification and after learning a Braisa, that the positions are actually not that far one from the other, so then we redacted just a little bit. Rabbi Shimon remains the same. Rav Yochanan ben Broka actually has it at a quarter of a Kav. The Gemara points out now that's been stated, so then the Braisa works out very well. The Braisa that says that the difference between them actually is not that great. And now that's exactly how it plays out. Comes out now that a third of a kav, according to Rabbi Shimon, is 8 beitza. And the beitza manuka is going to be half, which is 4 beitza. The psula gavia is going to be half, which is 2 beitza. And the tumas ochlim is going to be 1, which is going to be one beitza. And as we pointed out already, Tosfos says that throughout Shas, that's exactly the shear that we adopt, the shear of Rabbi Shimon, not that of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. The other topics that were discussed in the course of the daf was how come our Mishnah didn't mention another half, which is Tumas Ochlin. So the how come it only comes up in a Braisa? So the Gemara says because it's not a perfect fractional relationship, therefore it didn't come up in our Mishnah. And then other topics were discussed is that Rebbe had a sa'a measurement, and when measuring, it came out to 217 beitzim. That's much more, not much. It's more than what we expected. We expected it to be 207 beitzim. And again, just quickly to run through this again, there are 144 beitzim in the original sa'a. What happened was is that the sa'a was increased, the sa'a measuring cup was increased 2 times, each time 20%, so that when it was increased the second time, to get to what's called the measuring cups of the tzipori, so then it was able to hold 207. Meanwhile, the measuring cup of Rebbe held 217. How did he get to that number? So the Gemara said two possibilities, but the second possibility, which the Gemara seems to prefer, is that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi in general increases measuring cups by all of his measurements, I should say, by 5%. So 5% tacked onto 207. It gets you to the number 217. The Braisa we also saw on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph talks about the increases, both from the Midbar to the Yerushalmi and from the Yerushalmi to the Tzipori. So talked about these increases and pointed out that when all said and done, what you end up is that you get an equivalency of a third. That last line of the Braisa was difficult, and the Gemara, after a little bit of struggle, eventually concludes that a third of the largest one, and not just the largest one, but the largest one with Rebbe's addition, which is 217, a third of that, meaning the number 72, is going to be equivalent to half of the Midbar, which Midbar is 144, half of that is going to be 72 as well. And finally, we finished off with the Braisa that talks about how much flour is necessary in order to be Mafrish Chala. The Torah does not say. But the Gemara over here, based on a series of drashas, arrives at the conclusion that the amount that you need is going to be the same amount as the mun that was given to them in the Midbar. We know that it was an Asiris Ha'efa. So what does Asiris Ha'efa comes out to? So in the original measurements, Asiris Ha'efa comes out to 3/10 of a sa, which is 7 1/5 lugan, which is 43 1/5 beitza. That is before the measurements were increased. Once the measuring cups are increased, so then we're going to just talk in terms of lugan. So instead of it being a 7 1/5, you knock it down by you knock it down 20%, which gets you to 6. You knock it down another 20%, it gets you to 5. Ultimately, when the measuring cups were at its largest, so 5 lugan of flour is sufficient in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of challah.